The format, Bhakti Surup Damodar Maharaj is prompting us here. It's 5 minutes to eight. Sunila Madhava, what time should we target? Keep going. Okay. There are five of us here, and so five and a half of us here. Indra Dumna Maharaj is big devotee. Five and a half. So we'll speak briefly, hopefully, on the five most potent, most significant devotional activities that Rupa Goswami identifies in Nectar of Devotion that are most effective in awakening our pure love of Godhead. So, arbitrarily, I'm going to request the different Maharajas to speak on different one of the five most potent activities in bhakti. And I'll ask Indra Dumna Maharaj to speak first. The five most potent activities are chanting of the holy name, the worship of the deity form of the Lord, service to the Vaishnavas, residing in the sacred holy places of pilgrimage like Vrindavan, Mayapur in Bombay, Chicago, and the recitation and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. And assuming that we'll have lots of time left over, afterwards we'll field questions. You can direct the questions, or we'll just take turns answering questions as we go along.
You'd like me to speak on?
You speak on chanting of the holy name.
Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. There's so much that could be said on this topic of chanting the holy names, especially in this age of Kali. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya bukta sangha padam vajet. This verse is found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, who has been cursed to die within 7 days and is fasting at the bank of the Ganges until death. And Shukadev Goswami, his spiritual master, says that Kaler dosha nidhe rajan, hey king, this age of Kali, which has just begun with the departure of the Lord Krishna back to the spiritual world, it is an ocean of inauspiciousness. But kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha padam vajat. There's one good thing left in this age, and that is kirtan. Of course, kirtan, literally kirtan means singing. But he specifies what type of singing? Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha padam vajat. The chanting of Krishna's name. That chanting of Hare Krishna, specifically the Hare Krishna mantra, that is a means of deliverance in the age of Kali. And what type of chanting? Because we see there's different types of chanting. There's bhajan, when we chant alone, or there's kirtan when we come together in the temple room, and there's namasankirtan when we take that chanting to the streets in Kali Yuga. Specifically, which type of kirtan pleases the Lord the most? Harirnam, harirnam, harirnam eva kevalam kulu nashteva 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 gatiram yatha. What type of kirtan pleases the Lord the most? Krishna varnam tusha krishnam shangupangasya parshadam yagnai sen kirtan payar yishantihi shumeta shaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yuga Avadar, introducing the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna, he demonstrated that the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is recommended. When devotees come together, such as we've done this evening, we chant very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Vaishnavas were chanting more or less in seclusion for their own benefit, but Mahaprabhu introduced this kirtan, loud chanting of the holy names for the benefit of the entire world. And how that chanting is effective, that the acharyas have described, that the chanting of Hare Krishna destroys the sinful reactions that have accumulated within the heart for many lifetimes together. That is significant. Generally, for prayaschitta or atonement, to free oneself from sinful reactions, Vedic scriptures recommend different types of activities to be done. Sometimes simple, just as going to the Ganges and bathing in the Ganges can free one from so many sinful reactions. But of course that is not possible except for those who are living along the banks of the Ganga, who live in India. But Mahaprabhu declared that this chanting of Hare Krishna, anyone in any part of the world can chant, and that chanting will free the heart from more sinful reactions than one has accumulated in millions of lifetimes. And then the acharyas describe that furthermore, that chanting is so potent that it can uproot the material desires that are in the heart, which are the cause of those sinful reactions. By bathing in the Ganges, one can become free from the sinful reactions, but with all due respect to Mother Ganga, she has not been invested with the potency by the Lord to uproot the material desires in the heart. That, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. These are quite amazing things. But what's more, Srila Haridas Thakur, he described that the real glory of the holy name is that it can awaken love of God within the heart. Actually, he said these other benefits of chanting Hare Krishna. They're there in namba stage, even when one's not chanting perfectly, shuddha nam, these other effects take place. But he said, therefore, he said, the real glory of the holy name is that it can awaken Krishna prema within our hearts. Now, this is a rare jewel, of course, a golden opportunity. In previous ages, the Hare Krishna mantra also existed. It wasn't that it was something new introduced. If you look through the scriptures, you'll see either it's pronounced Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, or Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There. It was there in Vedic scriptures, but Vedic culture was very strict. And mantra could only be chanted by those who were qualified, specifically brahmanas. It was there, the Maha Mantra. But Vedic culture was very strict, and rightfully so. Because unless one is generally situated in that mode of goodness, one cannot derive any benefit from any specific mantra. It's like pouring ghee on ashes, or giving knowledge to a fool. There's no result. Ghee is meant to be poured on the sacrificial fire, the mouth of Vishnu, for the ultimate benefit. Ghee and grains into the mouth of Vishnu. Not meant to be poured on ashes. And knowledge should not be given to a fool. Or Jesus said that we should not cast pearls before swine. Something valuable should not be given to an unqualified person. They won't be able to take advantage of it. So therefore, in previous ages, those who were not situated, at least in the mode of goodness, if not higher, they're not allowed to chant mantra. Mantras were chanted by the brahmanas, and their chanting actually benefited society. Krishna says in the Gita, in the beginning I sent forth generations of men and demigods and bless them that by the performance of the sacrifice, yajna, all desirable things will be bestowed upon you. So the kings, with the help of the brahmanas who perform the yajnas, the brahmanas who chant the mantras, the devatas, and ultimately the Supreme Lord would be pleased, and material and spiritual prosperity would reign in human society. But others were not allowed to chant. But Kali Yuga came, and there's no qualified Brahmins, very few. Even Varaha Purana says that demons take birth in Brahmin families in Kali Yuga. And Kalosu Dasambhavan, in the Kali Yuga, everyone is born more or less with a Sudra mentality. But nevertheless, the purpose of the human form of life remains the same. The other day someone asked me, what's the value of Bhagavad Gita? It was spoken 5,000 years ago. I said, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is self-realization, developing a love of God. That was valid 5,000 years ago. It's valid now. It'll be valid 5,000 years from now. So Bhagavad Gita is always valid. So the purpose of human form of life remains the same. So therefore the Lord makes a concession. On His order, Damantu Sakshat Bhagavat Panitam, only the Lord can introduce religious principles. He introduces a very interesting religious principle. He gives a special compensation. That despite the fact that everyone is a Sudra-like mentality or lower in Kali Yuga, He gives His permission that everyone can chant His name in the form of this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And on His order, by His blessings, even the lowest of people can chant mantra and be delivered. It is up to Him. Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Panitam. He introduces religious principles. So the religious principle for this age is chanting Hare Krishna. And by the Lord's grace, anyone and everyone can chant and be benefited. And that was demonstrated by the Yajna Purusha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Himself, that in His leela, in His pastimes, He chanted here, there, everywhere, and showed the glories of this holy name, that it can deliver even the most fallen. And we see that one of His greatest devotees, Haridas Thakur, was born in a low-class family, but later became Namacharya. Why? To show the glories of the holy name, that it can deliver one even born in a low-class family. Or Jagai and Madhai. Lord demonstrated. It's not just theory. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangopanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Senkitan Prayar Jantihi Shamedashaha. But He practically demonstrated the theory by delivering Jagai and Madhai. So this is the good news. There's so much bad news. If you read newspaper or CNN or ABC, XYZ, it's all bad news. But devotees are broadcasting the good news. Namo Maha Badanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tasayana. But of all the incarnations of the Lord, this incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He's the most merciful. He makes no conditions. Even Krishna made a condition. You have to surrender. Then He'll protect you from your sinful reactions. But Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya makes no conditions. Anyone and everyone, He says, here, take it. Take love of God in the form of this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. So who wouldn't avail himself of this opportunity? A little investment, such a great return. Sinful reactions are destroyed, material desires are uprooted. And eventually, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. This will come about by the gradual process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. But a last note, again, that chanting is to be done in the association of devotees. Prabhupada said one time, anyone who thinks he can become Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees is living in a hallucination. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he stressed this when he realized that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From his mouth, his lotus mouth, came 100 very beautiful verses glorifying Lord Chaitanya. And one of them stresses the point of chanting this mantra in the association of devotees. Samsara sarpa dushtanam murchitanam kalo yuge asadham bhagavan nama shrimad vaishnava shevanam. Samsara sarpa dushtanam, that those who have been bitten by the serpent, sarp, the serpent of the samsara, the repetition of birth and death in the age of Kali, they shall get relief by the medicinal herb of asadham bhagavan nama and shrimad vaishnava sevanam. Asadham bhagavan nama means chanting the names of Bhagavan, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and shrimad vaishnava sevanam, serving the lotus feet of the devotees. This is a very powerful combination. Chanting Hare Krishna and living in the association of devotees. Chanting Hare Krishna in the association. Either one of them is capable of delivering us, but you put them together, very powerful, like nitrogen and glycerin. These are two explosives. So, on their own, they're something, but you put them together, kaboom. So chanting Hare Krishna or serving the Vaishnavas, very potent, but together, very powerful. Therefore, Prabhupada said, he created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness for the purpose of giving the devotees the chance to associate. And when we associate, what do we do? What do we do when we associate? One time I was on an airplane flying from London to Sydney, and the captain came back to speak to me. He walked back in his full uniform, and he said, can I speak to you? I said, who are you? He said, I'm the captain. I said, who's flying the plane? He said, these days everything's automatic pilot. So I've got an automatic pilot. I was a little nervous. I said, okay, this would make the questions quick, because they're going to serve the fruit juice. So he said, you're from a religion, right? You're from that Hare Krishna religion. I said, yes, I am. He said, well, could you just explain in a few words what is the essence of your religion? So I said, love of God. So he said, well, in a few words, how do you achieve that? I said, sir, it's very easy. We sing, we dance, we have a little philosophy, and we feast on nice vegetarian food offered to God. He said, that's a very nice religion. So our process is very wonderful. And when we come together, this is what we should do. We don't come together just to socialize or talk about ordinary news or prajalpa. When Vaishnavas come together, immediately they focus on this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Some dancing, some katha, and then by 9 o'clock, a delicious feast. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj ki. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki. So I've been asked to speak on deity worship, or Archa Vigraha. It's explained that these five principles, or actually aspects of devotional service, are the five most potent. And Srila Rupa Goswami, who has received his understanding and knowledge from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the Nectar of Devotion, which is the handbook for execution of the science of bhakti, he explains that even a gross neophyte, or someone who is just introduced to these one or more of these five potent forms of devotional service can experience ecstatic symptoms. So these are very powerful forms of devotional service. So I was asked to speak about deity worship. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the author, writes, "In this age, the Lord has come in two forms, in His holy name and in His deity. But of course, in this age, the means for self-realization, as explained by His Holiness Indrajumna Maharaj, is congregational glorification of the Lord by chanting His holy name. But yet we see in our temples all around the world, and of course, every temple around the world, there are various manifestations of the forms of the Lord. So this deity worship is actually one of the means for self-realization in the previous age, in Dwapara Yuga. The Yuga Dharma, or the means for self-realization, was to worship the deity according to the scripture injunctions, which is called the Pancharatrika Vidhi. So the deity actually is actually Krishna. It's called Archa Vigraha Incarnation. The Lord incarnates in His form as a deity. So there is actually no difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His absolute nature and in the deity. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains different visions of various persons who see the deity. He breaks them down to three categories. He says those who see the deity from a materialistic point of view simply see or understand the deity as made of stone or wood or type of metal formulated by some individual, and it is called idol worship or just some kind of creation of someone's imagination. And that type is considered to be not anywhere near any type of spiritual understanding, but the common person with no spiritual understanding, when they see the deity, generally they think in that way. They simply think it's some stone or some wood. But therefore, one cannot understand the deity or get a glimpse of the position of the deity unless one starts to worship the deity with the devotion. One starts to follow the process of bhakti yoga as given by the scriptures and explained by the acharyas. One starts to awaken to the realization of the deity as actually being Krishna. Now, a little higher than that, and much higher actually, is persons who see the deity as a representation of Krishna. They think that there's Krishna, He's in the spiritual world, He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this particular form of the Lord is a representation, and therefore we worship that representation because it helps us to see the Lord in this particular way, because our eyes are not able to see transcendental, experience transcendental at this stage. So therefore, the deity is simply a representation. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur rejects that as also being what we say incomplete or actually incorrect. The real understanding is that Krishna is, the deity is actually Krishna. No difference. Absolute. Arche Vishnu Siladi Gurushu Namati Vaishnave Jati Bhuti. The Padma Purana explains that one who sees the deity in the temple made of stone or wood, who sees the Vaishnav coming from a particular caste or creed or particular background, who sees the spiritual master as having some, as an ordinary person. Of course, who sees, it goes on, the verse, it sees Mahaprasadam, it's just simply ordinary food. The verse says at the very end, that person's consciousness is Naraki, or coming from hell. Very strong statement. Very strong, that actually one who has that vision is actually completely on the materialistic platform. Actually, Krishna is the deity. And there are many, many, many stories throughout the scriptures where there have been, the deity has talked, the deity has walked, and the deity has actually eaten the food that has been offered. There's one such story where I believe it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat, I'm not sure. The story of Mukunda, Sakar, and his son Raghunandana Thakur. Now, Raghunandana was only a young boy. He was the son of Mukunda, and he was 5 years old. And Mukunda would worship his deity every day before he would leave to go on to do his chores, to go out and join Mahaprabhu. And one day he decided that he was going to teach his son how to worship the deity. He's 5 years old now, and it's about time he learns how to worship the deity. Sometimes we think, oh, just a young child. But actually, when we implant and educate children at a very young age, that seed goes deep, and then it fructifies into something very, very wonderful. So, Raghunandana Thakur, he was just a young boy, so Mukunda explained, your mother, she will give you the prasad, the food, you take it into the deity room, you place it before the deity, you sit down, you ring the bell, you chant the mantra, and you call the Lord to come and take your food. So he explained very nicely, he left, his mother gave him, it was actually a laddu and a glass of milk they were offering to the deity. So he brought it into the room where the deity was, sat down, remembered everything his father had taught him, he rang the bell, he chanted the mantra, and he called the Lord to please come and accept your food. And of course, it's a deity, so Krishna's all his senses are interchangeable. He can eat with his eyes, he can talk with his ears. All of the limbs of his body can perform the functions of all the other senses. He's not limited like we are. He is the absolute supreme personality of Godhead. And so he is beyond what we say material definitions. So all his senses are interchangeable. So the Lord accepts, or he eats, through the love of his devotee. But little Raghunandana was thinking, well, why is he not eating the food? Actually, my father told me that he should eat the food. And he's not eating. So he became very concerned, and he started calling to the deity, you're not eating. My father has told me, give this food to you, and please, if he finds out that, I've failed in serving you. So he was crying, but he was in such pure love in his expression for Gopinath to please come and take that prasadam, that the deity ate the food. He ate everything. And then, of course, when he came out, there was no prasad, no maha. So his mother said, well, where's the prasadam? So he said, well, the Lord ate everything. He was so happy. So she was kind of wondering, well, maybe there's something else. So she just waited till her father, till Mukunda came home. And she explained what had happened, and he asked. Raghunanda explained everything. He ate everything. So he's thinking, I'm going to let him, I'll make the offering again tomorrow. But this time I'm going to hide and just see what happens. So again, little Raghunandana brought the laddu and the milk in, and Mukunda was hiding, unbeknownst to his son, just to see what was happening. And again he sat down, performed the ceremony, called the Lord, chanted the mantras. And again the deity came, and this time he ate half. And Mukunda saw that. And when he saw that, he started to realize that actually my son is a very, very great soul. Very, very great soul. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said later, he said to Mukunda, your son is Raghunandana, you are the father, but actually, who is the father and who is the son? And Mukunda understood more Mahaprabhu's feeling, so he said, actually, my lord, Raghunanda, he is the father, and I am his son, because he is actually teaching me about what is real, what is pure devotion. So there are many, many stories throughout the scriptures of how the Lord, He can talk, He can walk, He can eat. He accepts our offering in the form of His deity. And actually, when we come before the deity, we should have that understanding that here is Krishna standing there. Here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here is Lord Nityananda. Here is Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Lord Nisringadev. They're actually personally there. Premanjani takt bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva riddayesu vilokayanti. It explains in Brahma Samhita, when the eyes are smeared with the ointment of love, then one can actually see the Lord. So the Lord reveals Himself according to the devotion of the practitioner, of the devotee. So the more we purify our hearts through chanting the holy names of the Lord and practice the principles of devotional service very carefully under the guidance of the spiritual teachers and associate with the devotees in the mood of service and love, and gradually Krishna reveals Himself in His transcendental form as the deity, and so many other ways also. So we are very, very fortunate. Actually, all around the world, Srila Prabhupada has established these temples of Radha and Krishna worship. This is truly an amazing, amazing event of devotional power. Everywhere in the world, practically in every country, we have temples of Radha and Krishna worship. So the Lord has come because of the purity and because of the love of His pure devotees to simply come and accept our service. So when we come before the deity, we should be very, very humble and see that actually this is Krishna. There's no difference between the Lord in His form as a deity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all His glories. So we are very fortunate here in Chicago. We have Sri Sri Kishore Kishori. Sri Sri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. And Srila Prabhupada said, as Vaishnavas, we worship Krishna as Kishore Kishori. We worship Krishna in that age. That is the age of Krishna's eternal relationship in the spiritual world. He is Kishore Kishori. So we worship the Lord in that particular form. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
This is fun, huh? It's very enjoyable to be in the company of such exalted souls. I'm sure it's nice from that side, it's nice from this side. Service, humbly offered service to the devotees of the Lord, has already been spoken about twice because it's so central to our activities of perfecting our lives in devotion. When Indradyumna Maharaj was speaking about the glories of the holy name several times, I noted. Nice verse by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya indicating the significance of side by side with chanting of the holy name, the rendering of service to the devotees of the Lord. And in the worship of the deity form of the Lord, Chandramali Swami also spoke of the importance while rendering such service to be in a very humble mood, serving not only the deity form of the Lord, but all the devotees of the Lord. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam verses describes the glories of the holy name and the unparalleled mercy that the Lord provides in investing all of His transcendental potencies in the holy name, in making Himself very easily approachable through His holy names, no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. Unfortunate as I am, nanuraga, no attraction. Yet He provides the solution. The mood that the devotee should be in to counteract the tendency of making offense against the holy name. They counteract the tendency for offense against the holy name starts with our proper attitude of serving the devotees of the Lord. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sahishnuna amanida manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Confirmed. To Haridas Thakur's recommendation in his discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Harinam Chintamani and how to overcome the tendency for offense, each of the 10 offenses, Haridas Thakur describes the constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how can we constantly chant the holy name of the Lord if we have no taste for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord? To overcome that obstacle in the course of our devotional service, the very natural indication or instruction by Lord Chaitanya is take the mood of humble service before all of those who are calling upon the holy names of the Lord. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested by Satyaraj Khan and other devotees to identify what is the duty of the householder and how in household life to achieve the goal of life, the chanting of the holy name as far as possible, constantly, and whenever there is some opportunity, serve the devotees of the Lord. These two are a couplet. They, just as Indradumna Maharaj was saying, nitrogen and glycerin. Very, very powerful combination. And who is a devotee of the Lord? The three different stages of devotion were identified by Lord Chaitanya in successive years, all centered around the chanting of the holy name. Those who are chanting the holy name should be respected. Those who are chanting the holy name should be served. Those who are chanting the holy name should be served in a very humble mood. When that instruction is followed, Nama Prabhu becomes very pleased. Krishna, in his Nama form, Krishna in his personal identity, becomes very pleased and removes the obstacles of material consciousness that exist within the heart of the devotee. So that when we chant the holy name congregationally, and when we chant the holy name with our prescribed daily chanting, an attraction for the holy name awakens very, very naturally. So, because of our time consideration, I'm going to just pass the microphone on to Radhanath Maharaj so he can describe to us the glories of the aspect of devotional service of residing in the holy dhams, the places of pilgrimage of the Lord.
I don't deserve to be sitting amongst these saintly persons, but Krishna has a sense of humor. I was asked to speak on the glories of residing in holy like Vrindavan and Mathura. We should understand what is the nature of holy dham. Krishna declares in Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Then in order to counteract irreligion and establish the true principles of spirituality, the Lord descends into this world again and again. When Lord Krishna descended to this world, he descended with many of his intimate, eternal associates, and along with him descended the spiritual world. That is the holy dham. There is no difference between Vrindavan, the holy place that we can visit, 90 miles south west of Delhi, and the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Really, the only difference is there is no difference. The only difference is what is manifested to us within this world. So yes, Vrindavan is non-different than the eternal kingdom of God in the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada explained that because the atmosphere of Vrindavan is so deeply permeated with spiritual energy, one naturally becomes influenced by that. And therefore, to awaken love of God in such a holy place is very natural and very simple. In the holy dham, everyone is chanting the names of Krishna. The Brijabasis, the residents of the holy dham, they're born and raised to have deep faith that Krishna is not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's their intimate friend, their neighbor. Recently, His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj told me a nice story where a pujari from Vrindavan was visiting Rome, and he met Pope. And Pope said, "Would you like to speak to God on the phone?" So he said, "Yes." So he spoke for just a few minutes. And there was a telephone bill of thousands and thousands of dollars because it was very long distance. Speaking to the kingdom of God. And to reciprocate, the Pope came to Vrindavan and met the pujari. And he said, "Would you like to speak to God on the phone?" And he said, no, go on speaking for so many hours. It's a local call. So this is their faith. Did Sridhar Maharaj make that up? I don't know. But it's a good story. It's not to be taken literally, but it's the spirit. It's not a literal story, but it is the spirit of the people living in Vrindavan. That they love Krishna. They're constantly chanting the names of Krishna. I even heard a story of a dacoit who was a robber and killer. And as he was in an ex, but he was born in Vrindavan, and he was shot. And he ran to Bunky Bihari temple and chanted Radhe Radhe in front of the deities and gave up his body. So in Vrindavan, just people are naturally inclined toward devotion to Krishna. And when Prabhupada first brought a devotee to Vrindavan, actually he was in New York and he was bringing the first devotee, Kirtanananda Swami, to Vrindavan, he said, "Wait till you go to Vrindavan and see what it's like. Everyone loves Krishna. It's a natural place to love Krishna. Here in Chicago or New York, you have to really battle against the opposing energies because there's such materialistic environment. But in Vrindavan, everyone's just hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. Everyone's worshipping the deities of Krishna. It's so easy and natural to develop love for God in Vrindavan because it's the Lord's eternal home. It's the abode. Of course, Narottam Das Thakur teaches Vishayachadiya kabe sudahave ma kabe hama heribo sri Vrindavan. He's praying, when will that day come when my heart will be free from all false ego, from all selfish materialistic desires, when I'm free of these desires, personal gratification, only then will I actually see what is Vrindavan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he will be pleased to see you. And that holds true also with the holy Dham. People can go to Vrindavan, although it's such a natural, holy place, still, we can't see what's really there. Krishna is eternally performing his pastimes there. Every tree is a kalpa vriksha tree. Every grain of dust is more precious than all the emeralds, rubies, diamonds, and jewels of this world and the heavenly kingdoms. Why don't we see that? It is revealed to us according to the purity of our heart. It is revealed to us according to our desire to serve. Srila Prabhupada, he was living in Vrindavan, following this instruction of Rupa Goswami perfectly. He was in the heart of Vrindavan, Seva Kunj, the place of the Ras Lila. But he left to come to New York and Chicago. Why? Actually, Prabhupada never left Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada's heart was to serve the holy Dham, to serve the kingdom of God. Because what pleases Krishna most, according to the Gita, is to attract other people's hearts to his loving service. Srila Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that many of the greatest devotees, Gadadhar Pandit, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Srivas Thakur, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, greatest associates, they never went to Vrindavan, even once in their life. But actually, because of their loving service to the Lord, the holy Dham was always manifesting in their hearts. We live in Vrindavan by our service attitude. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains that wherever there's a temple of the Lord, where devotees sincerely come together to serve one another, to chant the holy names, to worship Krishna, to speak about Krishna, that is Vrindavan. Krishna says, I never take a step out of Vrindavan. But then he also says, wherever my devotees are coming together in a spirit of service to chant my holy names, I am there. That means whenever we are coming together in this way, that is Vrindavan. Kishore Kishori, the Lord of Vrindavan, have transformed this temple in Rogers Park of Chicago into Vrindavan Dham. And therefore it is a place of pilgrimage. And by serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that spirit, we are actually always residing in the holy Dham. Prabhupada's love and kindness is he brought Vrindavan Dham to every part of the world and invited everyone to understand this spirit. And by our sincere chanting of Harinam, we will realize the holy Dham to be within our own hearts. And that we should always aspire to reside. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. So first of all, I'd like to express this feeling that I have never been in this type of format, that in my let's say, years of Krishna consciousness in our society. I think this is the first time. And I think this is a very wonderful format. learning a lot from, I think Prabhupada will be extremely pleased. And then all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis in Chicago. Chicago is no ordinary place. Vrindavan, Maharaj said. So I like to therefore appreciate the arrangements. I'm happy that I stayed over because when Sri Radhika, she asked me, Maharaj, to come to our marriage when I, just a few days ago when I was going to the university. So I wasn't sure whether I would be able to come and stay. But I'm glad that I stayed over, and I'm feeling this very, very happy. So therefore, I'm extremely grateful. regarding my topic, you see, Bhagavat Seva, or association, Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we always chant every morning, Nasta Prayesu Abhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Abhadra means all the inauspicious, the symptoms in this age of Kali. I call this age of Kali age of science and the technology. Because, you know, Kali means, you know, these instruments, these all these like instruments I'm using, my magnifying the instrument for my voice. So in the age of instruments, that two instruments, they rub each other, then that is some type of spark. So therefore, this anger becomes the byproduct, quarrel. Quarreling mentality becomes very prominent. So therefore, the age of science and technology is not very simple. So, but nasta prayesu abhadresu, but all these inauspicious symptoms, these dangerous symptoms of this age of Kali, will be completely destroyed. Nasta means it will be completely destroyed. Nasta prayesu abhadresu, but the process is nityam bhagavata sevaya. Nityam means constantly. This is all the time, day and night, even while sleeping. And so it is in all the millennia by serving Bhagavata. So the Bhagavata, there are two types of Bhagavata. One is the book Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, with 18,000 slokas, serving, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And the other one is called worshipping person Bhagavata. The spiritual master, the sages and the saintly people, the Vaishnavas. So by the cultivation of this culture, means Bhagavat Seva, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By this Bhagavat Seva, by practicing this culture, all the inauspicious symptoms in this age of science and technology will be completely removed. And one will be purely on the way to Godhead, to the Supreme, to the abode of Vrindavan, going to Vrindavan. So in this way, the process is very scientifically given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like the first sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. The recitation goes like this. Dhamnam svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. Satam param dhimahi. The absolute truth. We have to meditate today in order to get this knowledge. Satyam param dhimahi. So very briefly, because we also have a time factor. You see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vidura, Saint Vidura, was asking Maitreya Muni. So he said, I have heard, you know, this narrations of, let's say, Mahabharat. He said, this is a lot of forms of knowledge. So he was asking from Maitreya, please tell me about the higher taste of, say, association or listening to Srimad Bhagavad, the message of the Lord. I want the higher taste. But it's very interesting that Maitreya Muni started talking from what? So he started, the highest topic was from cosmology, about the creation of this universe and also all the living entities. So this is regarded as the highest topic to understand about the creation, in other words, about cosmology of how this world was created. But there is an underlying principle there. Unless we have a certain glimpse of this creation, that the devotional life, the love of God, Godhead, because that is the ultimate goal. But in order to achieve that, we have to have a certain some glimpse of why the Lord has created this universe, this world, and why the living entities, including the human forms of life, why they have to come here in this world. So this creation, in a nutshell, is a this manifestation of this world is a facility given especially to the human forms of life, to the human beings, in order to actually prepare for our final journey, that final destination, preparation, how to prepare, how to go beyond the coverings of this material world. In order to give that facility, the Lord says that He creates this millennium after millennium. He also comes down and sometimes He also creates. But in order to give the facility to the human forms of life to transfer from this material world to the spiritual world. That is the background why it is we have to have a little glimpse of the knowledge of creation. So in this way, Bhagavat, of course, you know, is the cream of all Vedic literatures. And so in this way, by the blessings of His Divine Srila Prabhupada, this facility has been given to all of us. So therefore, I was meditating on how Prabhupada will feel about this program, that totally Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, devotees from all over the planet, all over the universe, get it together in Chicago this evening. So this must be my that's to teach us how you know such format should be conducted in the temple, so that we can all remind ourselves and prepare in a very nice and conducive manner. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this association of the devotees, in fact, Srimad Bhagavatam says it should be discussed among the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis. Therefore, this is Sadhu Sangha, the association of saintly people, all our saintly personalities. So, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi. All the scriptures say that this association of sadhus, saintly people, devotees of the Lord. So, and Sadhu Sangha, Lobha Matra, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Lobha Matra means it, for a fraction of a second, we can associate, we can get this facility to associate with the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis, then one can get the ultimate perfection of life. So that's, I'm observing that in this assembly. So we're very fortunate that to have our exalted God brothers here sitting together with, and then all the Vaishnavis have been brought by the blessings of Sri Sri Kishori. So it's a wonderful blessing that we got. So to conclude, the spirit of Bhagavad is actually to attain the love of Godhead. And so in order to do that, Bhagavad says, also Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Parabeda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakriya, Vasudeva Param Jnanam, Vasudeva Paratapaham, Vasudeva Paro Dharma, Vasudeva Paragati. Jai Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Prabhavanande. Hare Krishna.
We have a very merciful temple president. He wants more. So we'll take a little bit of time and he'll give us the signal when the time is up. We'll field some questions. Do I see any hands or do I hear some growling stomachs?
All sin.
Sins, okay. The Son is the representative of the Father. I'm very proud of him.
Hare Krishna, so feeling myself unlimitedly unqualified, here I am instructed to answer this question. When Ajamil chanted the name of Lord Narayan, he was calling for his son. But because he was calling without any offense, he wasn't considering, he was not blaspheming devotees, he was not considering the glories of the name as imagination, he was not making any mundane interpretation himself, he wasn't committing offenses on the strength of the name, he was just calling the name of Narayan, in fact without committing any of the 10 offenses, and that was enough for Narayan to immediately send his Vishnu Dutas to stop the Yamadutas from taking Ajamil away and giving him a second chance to reawaken his spiritual endeavors and attain perfection and ultimately return back to the spiritual world. And so that was one moment of chanting, unknowingly, but free of offenses, and he was able to achieve ultimate perfection from that. And so Haridas Thakur also gives the example of the hunter. He says, haram, abominable, when he's been gored by a boar. But because this hunter is chanting without offense, the Muslim hunter is chanting without offense, and he's saying, haram, abominable, he's not performing any of the 10 offenses, he gets the benefit of that and is liberated, at least up to the point of Brahman. And so this is the potency of the name, that even unknowingly, if we chant, we can achieve liberation. But when we become familiar with the name in the process of regular devotional endeavor, and if we become familiar with the devotees, or familiar with the name, or familiar with the glories of the name, then the offensive mentality may come in. And this becomes very difficult. These offenses become a great obstacle in the path of spiritual endeavor. And therefore, so much stress is given to the devotees to guide them to avoid the offenses against the chanting. But this unknowingly chanting, agyata sukriti, chanting unknowingly, that can liberate one to the point of liberation only. But when we chant with full devotion and full understanding of Vaishnava Siddhanta, we respect Vaishnavas, we understand the position of the demigods, and we respect them in relation to Krishna's supreme position. When we when we understand the position of the name in relation to scriptural conclusions, the unparalleled position of the name, and we serve the name with the proper Vaishnava Siddhanta, it can liberate us or deliver us to Sri Krishna's lotus feet in full prema bhakti. And so that is the wonder of the holy name and the consideration of offenses in the chanting of the holy name and the potency of even chanting unknowingly that is there. I hope that answers your question. We will leave it at that and now take another question. And I'm happy that I was able to answer your question at least partially. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Applause to the sun.
In absolute theory, partial is good as absolute. Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Vidam.
I'm not actually sure even to whom I should direct it, so without offending any of you, I'll direct it to my spiritual master. In these five angas of devotional service that are described as the most potent, Indradhumi Swami explained that the Maha Mantra there is no qualification necessary for chanting the holy name. Maharaj, can you explain, do any of these other angas, is there some qualification that's necessary? And maybe could you explain, so it's not a simple yes and no question, the qualification necessary to engage in each of the of these other angas, if it's true that only the Maha Mantra is does not require any qualification?
Sri Prahlad Prabhu is everyone's son. One time, devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, what was our qualification for receiving this great benediction of Krishna consciousness, which includes the chanting of the holy name, living in a holy place, worshipping the deity, serving Vaishnavas, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? And Prabhupada answered with great humility and honesty. He said, you had no qualifications. He said, I made your qualifications. So factually, our only qualification is causeless mercy. And by humbling ourselves in a spirit of servitude to great personalities, our heart can access that causeless mercy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, of all the processes of devotional service, which is most important? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately answered, the chanting of the holy names. It is the most important. In fact, Prabhupada told us that 99% of your spiritual advancement is based on your chanting of the holy names. But in order to chant the holy names properly, with the proper consciousness in which we could actually be receptive to the mercy of the holy name, service to the Vaishnavas is essential. Visiting the holy places and making our hearts holy places is essential. Worshipping the deity is so very, very helpful. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So our qualification is only causeless mercy. And if we humbly hear from the great souls and try to serve their directions, then that causeless mercy will be our strength to empower us to attain the ultimate perfection of life. Does that answer your question? Very well.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to ask, how is it that we can kill our false ego, kill our ego, so that we can serve Krishna without thinking of ourselves, so that we're actually learning how to please Krishna and listen to Krishna tell us what he wants us to do, rather than our ego jumping in, telling us something?
So the question is focused on how to eliminate false ego, then that will lead to Krishna consciousness. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in his Sikshastakam, that explains very clearly and very scientifically that each one of us has to develop this quality, this humility. Trinadape sunijena tarureva sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtanya sadahari. So our Indradhanura Maharaj is half about chanting. But yet Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, sadahari, sada means always, eternally. So in order to develop that culture, this understanding, that first of all we have to develop that trinadapi sunnisena. So more, and tarorivu sahishnuna. Taror is the tree, so one must be more tolerant than the tree and more humbler than the grass and the straw on the street. And plus, along with that, amanina manadena. So devoid of all sense of false prestige. Ahankar, it's called ahankar. So in other words, we have to develop this spirit of humility and always feeling that I am helpless. So therefore, we have to take shelter. In this connection, there are very important developments. I just continue a little bit. That there are conferences, right now, in different parts of the world, about how to scientifically understand humility, scientific studies of humility. This is also research. Research is going on. And scientific studies of forgiveness, how to forgive. That's when somebody is giving me some trouble, how to forgive. But scientific studies of forgiveness. And scientific study of called spiritual transformation. This is going on this year's conference is in Philadelphia on the 5th of June, starts in June, for 6 days. This is an international conference, and there will be, these are mostly scientists. Scientists are mostly from medical sciences and from physicists, and it's very unusual conference started about a very, very prominent scientist coming from different parts of the universe, like Harvard University, Yale, and all these prominent universities, people are coming from these very prestigious institutions. So, whatever Prabhupada wanted to say, from the scientists, so now it's all happening one by one. But on their own. I thought it's very, very interesting that humility, but now the scientists begin to recognize that unless we become humble, the scientists become very, generally they become very arrogant, and now, so therefore, in order to study about the science of God, in order to actually understand the Supreme Lord and His unlimited mercy, the first qualification is to learn how to become humble. And the scientists are beginning to recognize that, and they want to do a scientific study and a proof about this wonderful quality called humility. So if we develop this humility, even all the scientists are now trying to become humble, and so I think we are in the right way.
Sri Sri Kishor Kishori Ki Jai. Sri Sri Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Ki. Sri Sri Gornitai Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi.